everybody. Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily. I'm your host, Jared Petty. It's Wednesday, April 11th, and I'm sitting here alongside the wonderful, the boisterous, the intelligent, the...
busiest lady in the business.
Huh?
I was waiting for it. I didn't know if you were going to give me the title Greg always says or not.
I was headed on my way in.
You know what? Honestly, I like yours a little bit better.
How come?
Because they're so much more enthusiastic.
Well, I've got a lot of enthusiasm. This is our first time hosting together.
I know. It's great.
I'm really excited. We kind of had a conversation like, are you hosting or am I hosting today? So we decided I'm going to do today. You're going to do tomorrow.
Right.
You are unequivocally better at me than this. I mean, no question.
I wouldn't say
inarguably.
That.
I think absolutely. But I get first dibs. So here we are. And welcome. Glad to be here with you today. Friends, we're glad that you're here with us here at Kinda Funny. Each and every day on Kinda Funny Games Daily, we bring you all the news from around the world of gaming, and you can be a part of it. KindaFunny.com/KFGD. Let us know what you think. Send us your messages. Maybe we'll read them on camera. Also, we wanted you to watch live on Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. That's Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. If you're watching there right now, you know about this, but maybe you're listening later, and through the magic of time warp, you come back and do, you know what? We're not going to try to analyze that too much. Time paradoxes, always a problem. In addition, YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. If you're not watching live right now, you're listening later. Where are you listening? Probably there at YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. And if you're watching right now, you can still listen later on. The possibilities are endless. On top of that, if you want to let us know what we got wrong, factually wrong, go to kindoffunnygames.com/you're wrong and let us know right away live on the show. We'll read those at the end. How rarely in life do you get the opportunity to just let someone know they're wrong? Just on demand.
It's true, but remember, keep it to just the facts.
Just the facts. That's right. When's the last time you told someone that they were just wrong?
I mean, I do it quite frequently because I think I'm right about a lot of things. Am I always right? No, I can admit when I'm wrong, but I'm right about a lot of stuff.
When's the last time you were wrong?
This is a good question. I think I was wrong about something we were having a conversation with about at PAX this past weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Factually wrong or just like philosophically wrong?
Factually wrong.
Factually wrong.
Because philosophically wrong is, that's kind of a gray area, right?
I was factually wrong yesterday. We were recording a Game Over Greggy, and I somehow got it in my head that one of the guys from Cocoon was the same age as Tom Cruise. It was weird. Anyway, support the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. That's patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Housekeeping, three items today. First, Greg and Tim are going to Mizzou. Today, it's Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. at CJ's Hot Wings on Broadway. 6:30 p.m. CJ's Hot Wings on Broadway. Come be in a video. Meet Greg. Meet Tim. Hang out. Eat wings. Also, today's episode brought to you by Brooklinen, but we'll get to that later. And finally, I know you're excited to hear about it. Printer Watch 2018. We think the printer's working, and Kevin's going to bring in a printed copy earlier so I can finally stop misreading my notes. We'll
For
see
clarification, the printer's not broken. It was simply out of ink.
Well, it was out of ink, but it's out of ink of the wrong color. We went down a long rabbit hole in this yesterday, and I don't want to enrage the audience, but it all has to do with trying to print in black, but that not working because
we
didn't have red.
No, that's why printers are stupid today.
See, okay, you're in on this too.
Oh yeah, no, I have a great printer when it has full ink in all colors, but heaven forbid the magenta goes out and you want to print something in black and white, it does not know how to do that.
There we go. So we're not going to go any farther down this because not everyone was amused with Gary and I's 10-minute tirade on this yesterday.
10 minutes is maybe a little tish too long.
Tish too long, perhaps. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to move forward to what? Oh, wait, is there anybody at the desk? How are we? Oh, good, his head was down. I couldn't see Tim. I was
cool
like, oh,
Greg
no.
Greg is holding it down.
How are we going to do this? It's time for what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report today.
A baker's dozen.
It is a baker's dozen. First off, from Ars Technica, some exciting news. The arguable biggest news of the day is that Red Dead Redemption's Xbox 360 version has now been patched to take advantage of Xbox One X hardware. This means, like other Xbox 360 games given the X treatment, Red Dead Redemption will now render at 9 times its original 720p resolution. Should you have a 4K TV, an Xbox One, and a copy of Red Dead Redemption, you'll be able to play the game in 3840 by 2160 pixel resolution. That's 4K. Once its patch launches sometime today, and by the way, today when this article was written, I believe was late yesterday. All right, so right there, that's the first part of this kind of two-part story we're going down here. What do you think about that, Andrea?
I think that I had not planned on replaying any of Red Dead Redemption, and now I kind of wanna.
That made the difference for you?
Yeah.
Really? Why's that?
Because a lot of times when I boot up an older game, the age shows so immediately that I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Unless I have some kind of real emotional attachment to the game. If I'm just doing it for actual work purposes, I'm okay. Like, this is going to be a slog. But the idea that they have really patched in a nice graphical enhancement is really appealing. I have an Xbox One X. I have a 4K TV.
And now you're going to go see what Red Dead looks like. Do you think you'll play all the way through again?
Oh, all the way through? Probably not. Oh. It's a long game.
It is a long game. I love it for that. Red Dead, one of my all-time favorite games. Just adore Red Dead Redemption. Any excuse to go back and play it. I do not have a 4K TV, but I still think this is really nifty. I'm glad they went to the effort to do this. I'm glad that they're showing commitment to the customers and saying, hey, you know what? Red Dead 2 coming out soon. Why don't you go back, take a look at this, and here's a little extra incentive. People that bought an Xbox One X can be happy. People who like Red Dead can be happy. People who never played it, a little more reason to go back. But here's the plain fact of the matter. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not played Red Dead Redemption for some reason, if you missed that boat, if you were not playing games at that time, if it somehow just slipped through your fingers, that is a heck of a video game. I really like it, and I think you should play it because Rockstar does some really nifty stuff with storytelling that, frankly, a lot of studios don't, and I think you ought to give it a shot. So there's my thoughts on the matter. Anything to add to that?
Well, I think that this is a big win for Xbox fans and Xbox in general, because clearly PlayStation does not have a means to do this unless they get a new like SKU, a re-release, because PS4 doesn't do this type of backwards compatibility. I mean, they could, I guess, technically release something on PlayStation now, but we all know that would be way inferior to what this offering is. So I think that this is great. I think this is excellent news. And then, you know, the other news that they announced in addition to Rockstar and Red Dead Redemption doing the upscaling, there's a bunch of other 360 games that are going to get this treatment as well.
There are indeed. Let's read a little more of that from Ars Technica. Microsoft's push to port more original Xbox games to Xbox One continued on Tuesday with a whopping 19 pre-360 games coming to Xbox One by the end of April. These will end in two phases, with the first one coming April 17th and will include the never ported elsewhere Sega classic Panzer Dragoon Orda. Woo! And the complete version of Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind. Also, woohoo! Okay.
Well, don't forget, we got Star Wars The Force Unleashed, Darksiders, Portal 2, Gears of War 2, Sonic Generations, all available right now.
That's freaking rad. And on top of that, on the 26th, we're going to get the original Battlefront games, Jedi Knight Jedi Academy, Jedi Starfighter, Republic Commando, KOTOR 2. There's so much happening here. I like to play old games. I really enjoy it, and I like when people put real effort into the preservation of old games and make them accessible to people. Some of that is because I want to go back and revisit them for context. Some of that is that there are, much like old books or old movies, there are a lot of very good reasons for people that have never experienced old games to go back and try them. They provide context for new games, and some of them are artistic expressions that remain timeless. Microsoft is committed and demonstrate a commitment, not just said commitment, but demonstrate a commitment to making these games much more accessible than they would be otherwise. And I think that's spectacular.
I agree.
Yeah.
We're on the same page here. And clearly they're doing great work with their partners. We've been saying for ages, you know, that Microsoft really needs to have a couple big wins to make it seem that they're actually competing in this console generation. And I think things like this are incredible, you know, check marks on the way to go list.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has a different reason to own the hardware they do. I love my PlayStation. I love my PC. I love my Switch. But this is honestly, in my opinion, for my life, the best reason to own an Xbox. Is that I can have easy access to games I love that I'm not quite ready to get rid of yet. So, yay! Any of these you're especially looking forward to playing?
I did not realize that Portal 2 was going to be on this list. Portal 2, one of my top 10 favorite games of all time.
Uh-huh.
If you guys never played Portal or Portal 2, I mean, this is a fantastic reason to go back. I mean, I very rarely talk about perfect games. Like when Celeste came out earlier this year, we had a discussion about it because I got IGN gave it a 10, and I was like, you know, that's a huge thing. Is that considered a perfect game? And then Greg was like, a 10 doesn't mean it's perfect. And we got into this whole discussion about it. But I think Portal 2 is one of the rare perfect games that exists.
Nothing you change about it?
No, I think it's like 100% amazing.
Portal 2 is likewise one of my all-time favorite games, and I think we're probably pretty much in agreement. There's not much I'd tweak about Portal 2. That game just was a delight from beginning to end. I don't know if I've ever laughed harder while holding
a
controller.
The narrative is so expertly woven into the puzzle game mechanics in a way that felt so simple yet also complex at the same time.
It's like effortless sophistication.
That's perfect. That's a perfect way to say it.
Yeah, I love that game. And that's so Portal 2 is a good reason. Frankly, there's some pretty this old Star Wars stuff coming back. That's really, really groovy. Big surprise here. The Sega Saturn game gets me excited, but Panzer Dragoon Orta is a really good game.
Never played it.
Yeah, it's absolutely it's a rail shooter. It's kind of like playing a really good Star Fox game.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun, and I really recommend it. Now it's just get Saga someday. One of the best RPGs no one's ever played, Panzer Dragoon Saga. It's going to happen, I believe. and then, of course, Morrowind, as we talked about on the show recently, my favorite Elder Scrolls game, so I'm real excited about that.
Yeah, I never actually played Morrowind.
Morrowind is the most Bethesda game ever.
That sounds right.
With all the good and bad that comes with that. All the weird glitchiness and oddness and broken systems and ability to game everything and totally take over what's happening.
I like a good cheese.
Combined with vastness and weirdness. And I love Morrowind. It's their magnum opus. It's them at their most Bethesda. And I think you'd enjoy it if you give it a shot. Will's got something to ask. I know Tim isn't hosting, but has Inside Xbox already exceeded expectations? Tim said they would have huge announcements at some point, and that Inside Xbox would be here to stay, while Greg said to give it 3 months before giving any praise to it. Red Dead Xbox One X Enhanced and more OG Xbox games, including Conquer and KOTOR 2, were announced yesterday, and I am pumped! Are you excited to try Red Dead in 4K before Red Dead 2 comes out? Will, I think the answer is a resounding yes.
Yes.
There we go. Moving on. Story number two. From IGN, Microsoft has announced a free trial of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds for Xbox Live Gold's Free Play Days. The event kicks off Thursday, April 19th at 12:01 a.m. Pacific Time and will run until Sunday, April 22nd, 11:59 p.m. Pacific Time. During the free days, users will be able to download and play the fully featured Xbox game preview version of PUBG. All multiplayer modes, including solos, duos, and squads, will be available during the event. Any battle points earned will carry over to the game if a player decides to purchase it when the free play days period has ended. And additionally, there's some new DLC coming, and the prices for that are mentioned in the story as well. What do you think about that, Andrea?
I think that this is not surprising. We've seen other publishers do this. Ubisoft, most notably, has been doing these free weekends for Ghost Recon, for Rainbow Six, for The Division, to be like, hey, if you want to get into this ecosystem, here's a way to try it out with your friends, and then you can bring all of your progress over. And Ubisoft even does a discount after the free weekend. Ooh. I don't see that here.
Mm-hmm. I don't see anything about that either.
I mean, but it is only $30, so it's not like that $59.99 price point. But this is smart. I think that they are, you know, Fortnite's clearly eating their lunch right now. and they know that. So they need to get more people in and more people on board. What better way to do that than to make it free? They made the mobile version free, and they've clearly had success there. Mm-hmm. And so they want to spread that success around.
Do you play on Xbox?
PUBG?
Yeah.
I've only played a couple of matches, but I don't play a lot of Battle Royale on any format. I've tried Fortnite on mobile. I've tried Fortnite on PS4. I do want to spend a little bit more time in PUBG, but there's just so much to play right now. Yeah. And when it comes to multiplayer games, I kind of have committed that I really want to get back deep into Rainbow Six.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So what are you playing right now that's keeping you from playing PUBG, playing other things? What are you deep into?
God of War?
Ah.
Which I can't talk about yet. But
you heard it here first, folks. All right.
The embargo's up tonight at midnight, 12:01 a.m.
Ooh. Number three. about those PlayStation 5 rumors. This from Kotaku, from our friend Jason Schreier. This is going to be a little bit of a long read because there's a lot to cover here. A recent online rumor got people buzzing about a possible 2018 release of PlayStation 5, but that's probably not going to happen. In fact, from what we've heard, the next PlayStation is a ways away and may not arrive until 2020. It's been nearly 5 years since the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One launched, which has triggered bouts of nervousness and excitement among video game fans who want to know when they'll have to start hoarding pennies for a new generation of consoles. The PS4 launched 7 years after the PS3, the Xbox One 8 years after the Xbox 360. It's not unreasonable to be thinking about the next generation. We don't have a concrete answer just yet, but we have been asking around, and what we've heard is a whole lot of uncertainty. Over the past month, I've spoken to dozens of game developers across a variety of disciplines and studios about the next generation of consoles. Of those, two people said they were directly familiar with plans for Sony's new console. Those two people both told me the next PlayStation is unlikely to release in 2019, let alone 2018, although they were careful to be clear that these plans are always shifting. Quote, on a multi-year project, a lot can happen to shift schedules both forward and backward, end quote, one person said. Continuing, quote, at some point, Sony's probably looked at every possible date. It's all about what they think is the best sweet spot for the hardware, end quote. A surprise move by Microsoft or another competitor, for example, could trigger a change in plans. Most of the developers I spoke to via phone and email and text said they had not heard anything about plans for a new PlayStation. Even employees at Sony's first-party studios have said they're not yet been briefed on the existence of a PlayStation 5. People across all the disciplines, design, art, engineering, etc., at major studios working on games scheduled for 2019 and beyond have told me that if there's information about the PS5 at their companies, they haven't heard about it. Those people said they hadn't heard about a new Xbox either. In summary, there is information about the PlayStation 5 floating around at both first and third-party companies, but it's far more limited than it would be if the console's release was imminent. The story goes on, and I encourage you to read it all. Once again, Jason Schreier at Kotaku, because there's a lot more nuance and detail there. He goes on to talk, for example, about how the ways that plans can shift, or about how if it were going to come out in 2018, it would already have to be on its way to manufacturing at this point.
I'm confused why this is a story. Who thought that PlayStation 5 was coming in 2018?
I chose to put this in Roper because Jason does his homework and actually reaches out.
This was not a dig at you,
Jared.
Oh,
no. I didn't get that impression.
I don't even understand why Jason is writing about it.
Because...
maybe because PS5 gets clicks? I don't know.
I don't think it's that cynical. I think there have been some things bubbling up a little bit on several sites over the last few days. I've been hit more than usual by people looking at rumor boards and just little supposed pseudo leaks here and there. And that's happened a lot over the last few days. I think Jason's responding to a popular wave of, is this news, is it not? I think what he's doing effectively is giving us facts instead of alternative facts. Right. I think this is actually kind of a responsible act on his part here.
I think getting direct quotes from, even if they're anonymous sources at studios, is always better than, well, I've heard.
Exactly.
Which is usually what my sources are, very much like on background. So here's the thing. Like, Greg and I talked about this quite a few weeks ago. I pegged 2020 as the year. And the idea that it's coming before then, to me, would be very shocking.
Yeah.
So this is not surprising whatsoever. I mean, they're right now coming into what I think is like the peak time for the generation. Mm-hmm. We're seeing developers really taking advantage of the power inside the box, really understanding the hardware and optimizing their software for the hardware, as you only get to see at this point of the generation. Yeah. And I think it's a great time to be talking about games that are coming out now. I think it's kind of frustrating that we're always chasing the next thing instead of appreciating the amazing work being done in the moment.
I think that some of that is our friend Tim Geddes loves the hype, and yeah, I love the hype too. It's fun to get excited about what we love. And there's a tendency to, I think that I was watching a documentary the other day, Stephen Ives' The West, which I love. And there's this interesting part where these people are standing in actually the Bismarck, North Dakota.
And my home state.
Indeed. And at your home state of North Dakota, when Bismarck was 5 years old, celebrating its 5-year anniversary, there's a British correspondent there. And the people there are all talking about how one day Bismarck is going to be kind of the center of the world, a great hub of commerce and culture. They're building
Sure. Okay, yeah. So they're building somebody's fantasy world.
Right. Well, they were all very excited there on the prairie. Anyway, I promise there's a point to this. They're laying the foundation of the Capitol, and he's watching, and this Capitol is up on a hill more than a mile from where the town stands on the prairie back in the 1800s. And the British guy asks, why is the Capitol up there? Are you going to enclose the area around it with a park? That's a beautiful idea. And like, no, that's going to be the center of the city. We're just building toward it. We're building around it. That's where we're going one day. And he said, that is a kind of a uniquely American idiom. The correspondent, the British correspondent says from that point, he writes, you know, this is a country, this is a place, this is a culture that as more than living in today is living in the future. There is something about that in this particular world of gaming as well, that we want to live in tomorrow as much as we want to live in today. And I think that that's where some of this obsession comes from, is that right or wrong, good or bad, and often it can be bad, we'd rather live tomorrow than with what we have right now. Maybe that's, I don't know, what do you think about that?
I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying, but I would hope that people can appreciate what we have instead of always being like, what I have is inadequate. I need the next thing, you know, but maybe that's wishful thinking on my part. I'm not going to pretend like I don't get excited about what's coming next. Obviously, like that's a big part of what we do here, not just on Games Daily, but in video game media at large, is looking to the future and things coming down the pipeline and what is the next thing on the docket. But I also am like, but the games are just getting really amazing right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like now more and more releases are having day one patches that aren't fixing a giant slate of broken things. Instead, they're adding enhancements to the game that was already there, versus in the first couple of years of the console generation, I felt like the day one patch was like, hey, we shipped it broken and now we're going to fix it with the day one patch. And I feel like we're finally just starting to get away from that day one patch being like, we're fixing everything. And instead, we're like adding all these things that we wanted to get in before certification.
Now, Andrea, that is a great point. Yeah, you can only play games that exist right now. You can't play tomorrow's games today.
Yeah.
And we're here to play games.
Yes.
So let's go play some, and let's play the ones that exist right now. I share the excitement for new technology. I'm a technical fetishist. I'm totally with a lot of you on that. But you know what? We got a couple of good years at least ahead of us with this hardware. And you're right. You keep talking about the sweet spot. Practically every console generation, you come to this point. This is where The Last of Us and GTA 5 happen. Mm-hmm. It's in this kind of space. So let's relish it while it's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next story added to the list by Andrea Renee herself, and I think this is a really good one here. Steam Spy no longer able to operate after Valve's latest Steam update via Polygon. You want to read this one? You want me to?
Sure.
All right.
Here we go. Steam Spy, one of the most used analytics tools for Steam, created in 2015 by Sergey Galankin.
I don't know.
I don't know how to pronounce your name, sir. I apologize. We'll no longer be able to operate in part because of Steam's new privacy settings. Galkin tweeted about the conundrum he found himself in addressing Steam's new policies, which now make users' game libraries private by default. Steam Spy operates via the ability to scan through millions of public game libraries and extrapolate information used to provide analysis reports on game sales and user data. Now that game libraries are private by default, Steam Spy won't be able to operate. Quote, Valve just made a change to their privacy settings, making games owned by Steam users hidden by default, Galkin said. Steam Spy relied on this information being visible by default and won't be able to operate anymore. To reiterate, it's not because of the new privacy settings. It's because Steam just made everyone's gaming library hidden by default. This wasn't in their blog post, end quote. Steam Spy is used by developers and game journalists as a way of tracking interest in a game, player demographics, and even potential review bombings. Steam's blog post further expands on the new privacy settings, if you guys are so inclined, and users will be able to make their total gameplay time completely private, as well as who can access their profile's game details. Part of the blog post highlighting these features can also be read at their blog. It says be read below, but I didn't include that entire thing there, but that's pretty much like all I really need to read from this story. If you guys want to read more about it, of course, Polygon has that written up. A lot of other sites have also written it up as well. This is stemmed, they say, by the end of the article, by the controversial thing happening with Facebook right now, which nearly 87 million accounts were compromised for user privacy. Obviously, Mark Zuckerberg testifying right now.
Wait a minute. Facebook isn't safe? What? 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 Facebook's reading? What?
Stop the presses!
I hadn't heard about this. What's going on?
The reason we brought this up is because it appears that people have differing opinions about this. Former Kinda Funny Games Daily show host Danny O'Dwyer tweeted yesterday, "This sucks. I'm a transparency nut about most things. But aside from that, this provided our discourse with some sort of quantitative data to help us better understand the market and trends of a complex and lightning fast industry. Without it, we become less knowledgeable."
Same. So this is a fun one for me. Obviously, Danny, one of the sharpest minds in this industry, a tremendous person I have great respect for and generally tend to agree with. He's absolutely right about what he's saying here in that statement. And I think that the gain of privacy still trumps his argument.
Agree.
Yeah, you agree.
Yeah. Okay. No, when I saw this and I saw Danny, you know, kind of doubling down on how he thinks that this is the wrong move, I was like, no, this is the right move. I always go out of my way to lock down my visibility in my public mm-hmm. profiles because I get harassed from people for some of the things that are publicly visible. So the idea that people can see my library or game developers or publishers can see my library is like, why would I have to justify you being able to look at my purchases? Like, mm-hmm. I want to keep my purchases private, and I should be able to have that right. So I think that this is the right move. I don't think that the ability for people to see that and to have services like Steam Spy operate is necessary.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Steam Spy provides a valuable resource to consumers and to the press. They provide a wonderful service. The data is very important. The trends are important. And the cost at which that data was coming, I don't believe justifies what we got out of it.
The ends don't justify the means.
No, they don't. They weren't doing anything insidious. They were just using available data. But the plain fact of the matter is we all signed a lot of our privacy over for the sake of expedience a long time ago. And we were way too nonchalant about it because it was cheap and it seemed innocent. And honestly, I don't think a tenth of the blowback we should be giving the companies that use our data the way that they do has begun to happen. I'm not sure it ever will. We should not be, in my opinion, as okay as we are with the fact that our privacy is a commodity that we have signed away with a flippant thought.
I think it's such a complicated issue, and we as consumers put our faith in the people that we gave our data to, that they were going to use it in an appropriate way. And now we're just finding out just how nefarious some of these companies were with our data. Mm-hmm. And that's why the uproar's there. And I had always been of the mindset, and I still kind of am, even though the more I learn, the more my opinion is shifting and changing, that if you agree to sign on to a free service, that you are kind of signing away your rights as a consumer. Mm-hmm. And that's what I said about Facebook. I was like, it's a free service. It's all there in the end user license agreement and the terms of service that a lot of us just click agree to and don't mm-hmm. actually read. And that's on personal responsibility. And if you are concerned deeply about how your data is being used, you probably shouldn't be using these services. I still hold that belief. Mm-hmm. However, The gray area that we're in right now is that they aren't being clear about which data is being used and how it's being used. And then they make it difficult to change how your data is being used if you don't want certain parts of your data used in certain ways. And that's where it gets really sticky and where these companies have responsibilities to their consumers that they are not fully taking responsibility for.
I think that's important. I think it also, personal responsibility is a big part of it, but there is something to be said for not understanding what you're getting into.
Absolutely.
I look at the college loan crisis and the fact that when somebody's 18 and they sign a piece of paper because they want to go to college, they spend the rest of their life saddled with the debt they could have bought a house with. Yes, they signed it away. Yes, they were technically an adult. No, they had no idea what they were doing. And
right.
That's predatory and wrong, even if it's legal. I think this is a case where a lot of us, a lot of people looked and just didn't think ahead to what this meant. Or if they did, they found themselves in a situation where it was socially or even professionally very difficult or impossible to conduct business. I mean, plain fact of the matter is you and I can't make a living without Twitter, Facebook, Instagram in our current environment. That's not going to happen.
No, agreed.
That's how I pay the bills. It's how you pay the bills. That might be a problem. Do we really, how much choice do we have vocationally? Or have we ever worked for an employer where our participation in these social networks is an important part of our job or has led to getting that job? Or there's a lot to be said there.
Well, also, if you think about back when you originally created your Facebook account, when I created it, what was it, back in like 2006, 2007, I did not have any foresight into how the information I put in my profile then was going to be used against me today. Mm-hmm. You know, since over the years, I've really gone in and locked down a lot of the different privacy settings and deleted some of the things. But it's like, you know, you put down what your favorite books are, your favorite movies are, your, you know, what your hometown is and all these things, because you're like, oh, I want my friends to like see this. But what you don't realize is it's not just your friends seeing it.
Yeah.
It's almost anybody who can search for you that can see it, unless you specifically go in and say, no, you can't. The default to keep everything public and open should be reverse. Everything should be locked down by default, and then you should be able to publicly make available what you so choose, but that's not the way that it is.
And even then, I'm going to go, because I'm a privacy nut. I've got a background. A long time ago, before I did this, I worked in technology, and I had some idea of how that data, even then when I signed up, was going to be used someday. It wasn't, you looked at it and you went, oh, because you learn a lot about data collection in that field and what I did. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is going terrible places. But I still signed in. It was a mistake to become a part of some of these things. But you know what? We should be allowed to correct our mistakes. And that's my main issue here, is that we've turned this into a blame game, where it's like, well, you should have known what you were getting into. Fine, we should have. Let's still fix it, because it's a huge societal problem. That's why we have laws.
Totally.
Because sometimes we make bad decisions and go, whoops. That was a bad idea for all of us. We probably ought to fix that.
We're all human. Yeah. We're allowed to make mistakes. And so when it comes to Steam Spy specifically, I think that, you know, I would still be okay with Steam Spy operating, as long as it's like I'm opting in to share my library.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had talked about that he doesn't think it's going to be possible to do this without people automatically being in, because he says, quote, it's still possible to extrapolate information based on what is publicly available, but the margin of error is going to be huge.
Yeah. And I have a lot of sympathy here. That's the other part. I feel like I'm like, yep, that's how it needs to. This is somebody's business and life and work, and they were providing a useful service, and they were not endeavoring to do anything unethical. They were taking somebody else's readily available data and putting it to a good purpose. That sucks for them, and it's awful. And I absolutely get that, you know, it would be like if Twitter shut down tomorrow. I don't know how to make money anymore. I mean, I'm not kidding. And that's the same situation this gentleman finds himself in. So I don't want to be callous or cavalier about all this done or seem ungrateful, but I do think privacy is one of the most important and least protected parts of our lives, and it's time for a correction. All right, we're both nodding at the camera.
Yeah.
Go us agreeing. Yeah, all right.
You did it.
Andrea, if I said, if I wanted to know what games I could be playing today for the very first time, where would you recommend I look?
I would recommend that you go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the motorcycle that's driving by. No, the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. All right. There we go. We're doing different.
Kevin, when did you tag out with Cool Greg?
What?
I looked up and it was you, and it like threw me for a loop.
I was handling the printer.
Yeah, Kevin and Cool Greg are actually secretly a two-headed Etten in a big hoodie. They just always hide one of their heads under it. That's why you never see them in the same room.
I definitely want somebody to illustrate this. If there's any graphically inclined best friends out there that can make Cool Greg and Kevin into a two-headed, what'd you call it?
Yeah.
Etten.
And Etten is a two-headed troll. Yeah, it's like that. Ettin.
In a kind of funny hoodie? Yes.
I'd love to see that. Absolutely. out today. Bombslinger on Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Earthlock, Festival of Magic, Xbox One, Deep Ones, PS4, Xbox One, PS Vita. That old Vita right there. Well, long live it. Galactic Civilizations 3, Intrigue on Steam. That's the expansion. And Andrea, you put this on here.
I did. Yeah, so I got a press release that says that they're celebrating the launch of the expansion Intrigue for Galactic Civilizations 3. And the base game is normally $39.99, and it's going to be on sale through April 13th for 66% off via Stardock and Steam.
Also, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice for Xbox One, League of Evil, PS4 and PS Vita, Operation Warcade for PSVR, and Ease Origin for Xbox One, which, hey, by the way, real good game, and finally available on Xbox. I think it's the first Ease ever to be on an Xbox platform. Ease is a Nihon Falcom series that goes way back, and a lot of great games in that series. Few stinkers, and a lot of great ones. This is one of the really good ones. So Ease Origin, totally worth checking out if you like action RPGs or JRPGs.
And for everybody listening, it's Y-S Origin. I never would have known that you pronounce it Ease.
Yeah, it's pronounced Ease, but it looks like Y-S. Ease is it's an old myth. It's a whole long, weird thing. But it's actually, it is pronounced Ease. You're playing any of the Ease games?
No, never.
Oh, there's several good ones on Sony handhelds. I really... Those are totally worth your time. Oh my goodness, E7, very good. They kind of got like kind of that Secret of Mana kind of feel to them, some of them. They're really groovy. All right, well, new dates. I think I'm supposed to jingle here or something.
Not new dates.
No jingle. Okay, good.
You did the jingle already.
I did the jingle. Somebody was saying I missed a jingle or something around new dates. Am I missing a trope here, Kevin?
Yesterday, I remember I had to yell
through
the jingle.
Oh, is that it? Okay. So that was just the other jingle we're talking about. The out today. All right. You know what? I have no idea what I'm doing. Why am I? You should totally be hosting. You're way better at this than I am.
No, you're doing great.
No, you're very kind, but you are, unequivocally. And I keep saying unequivocally, but that means without equal. And you aren't unequivocal, but I think I should be undeniably better.
So, I'm into that.
Using words wrong. Anyway, new dates. Sinner, Sacrifice for Redemption, the boss battler from former Ubisoft, Konami, and Blizzard veterans will launch on Nintendo Switch simultaneously with the previously announced PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Windows, and Mac versions in quarter 3, 2018. That's exciting. Developer Digital Sun has announced that its intriguing shop management-themed action RPG, Moonlighter, there's a genre for you, will launch on Xbox One, PS4, and PC May 29th. Man, I love shop management stuff. Go play the Kombini. Shadow Archery is a new game launching on Wii U. Yes, Wii U. Yes, really.
Who's putting out new games for Wii U?
Apparently the creators of Shadow Archery, which will launch for free for the game's first week. It's free! Go get it! Following that, it'll cost $1 or €1, and the UK price will be confirmed. If you live in North America, Shadow Archery lands on Wii U eShop this week, with a launch to follow soon in the UK and the rest of Europe, and that's via Eurogamer. You play an elven Legolas lookalike who must shoot spiders with a crossbow. You can play it on the Wii U's gamepad, or you can connect up a Wii remote and play it like a light gun game. Ladies and gentlemen, every now and then when we get our announcements of upcoming games, I'm assigned by Tim Geddes to go out and review. I got to review Enchanting Mahjong Match.
Oh, how was that?
It was everything you expect Enchanting Mahjong Match to be.
Perfect.
Lots of seductively clad ladies beneath Mahjong tiles. there was a little bit of put space cats with lasers, which would
that sounds like something I'd be interested in.
Kind of interesting little like arena shooter, a twin stick shooter with a cat riding a giant piece of cheese through space. But I commit to you today that Shadow Archery is about to enter my life.
I'll be back. You still have your Wii U hooked up?
Oh yeah, I got my Wii U hooked up. Absolutely.
Mine's been in a box for like 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years? No kidding.
It's that dang sensor bar, man. I hate that thing.
Oh, I got that. I actually have two sensor bars under my television, one for my Wii and one for my Wii U. So,
your Wii is still hooked up too?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
See, now I could get behind that because I could go for some Wii Golf.
Oh, you like the Wii Golf?
Oh, I lived for Wii Golf.
Yeah. Man, Wii Sports, that game is so good.
So good.
Wii Sports was great. One of the most important launch titles ever. It sold so many units. You like the golf? We should play sometime.
Yeah.
There's our party mode right there. Andrea and Jared play Wii Golf.
I'm into it.
I'm sure seven people will watch us. The seven Wii, but yeah, I like keeping my Wii plugged in for virtual console. That's my big pull on it, is that VC is still great, and there's not a lot of ways to get to that. All right, so I'm going to give a Shadow Archery for the Wii U a try and get back with you, let y'all know what's going on. Deals of the day via Wario 64, Dark Souls 3, the Fire Fades Edition for PS4 is $19.99 on Amazon right now. Hey, that's actually really cool.
And just as a shout out to Wario 64, if you guys go to his Twitter account, he has an affiliate link there. Always happy to send him a little support. So he is fantastic and is always tweeting lots of great industry news. So if you could click on his tweet, if you plan to buy this deal a day, to give him a little bit of a financial support, that would be great.
You get a great game for $20 and he gets a tiny bit of money. That's a good arrangement. Wario 64. That's at Wario 64. All right. Very good. Today's reader mail is brought to you by Brooklinen, because you spend a third of your life in your sheets. Andrea, do you spend a third of your life in your sheets?
I try.
Do you actually make it?
No.
No? Oh, no. Okay. So you don't sleep as much as you'd like.
Correct.
But in your ideal world, would you be spending more than a third of your life in your sheets?
More? Probably not, because there's a lot of the world to see, but I do wish I got consistently more sleep.
Okay. So you'd like to spend at least a third of your life in your sheets.
Yes.
And if you're going to spend it in sheets, the best way to do that and make a difference in your sleep would be to sleep in Brooklinen sheets, because Greg loves them. Do you sleep in Brooklinen sheets?
I have yet to try them.
Oh my gosh.
I've heard nothing but good things.
I've heard nothing but good things, too. I'm on that Brooklinen train. I'm picking out my sheets right now because they're the best, most comfortable sheets with no big markup. You can upgrade your nightly routine and feel more well-rested every day. And I do love my sleep. Oh, my goodness.
Bedding is so important. And the reason I haven't gotten my Brooklinen sheets yet is because my husband is like, if you bring one more piece of bedding into this house, and I'm like, but it's just one more set of sheets, because I love bedding.
Oh, my goodness. So you have a lot of bedding.
I have a giant closet just full of bedding.
Really? You have a bedding closet?
Yeah.
Well, then you need Brooklinen sheets. Perhaps it's time to graduate out of one of the old sets and just
sunset one of the old ones.
Sunset one of them, yeah, maybe, and then replace it with a good Brooklinen sheet.
I like this idea.
A little bit of sunsetting going on there. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. That means, Andrea, some of the bedding in your bedding closet, you may pay too much for. But Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 15,000 five-star reviews. Brooklinen sheets named the winner of the best on online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Full of versatile colors, patterns, you can mix and match to complement any decor. I saw your home for the first time recently. Your decor is spectacular.
Why, thank you.
Oh, your house is just awesome. You have a beautiful, really interesting artwork, and it's got a great variety to it, but it all still comes together in the room. You've got a lot of very thoughtful tonal and palette choices made. It's obvious you put a lot of thought into the way your house is laid
out. I really appreciate that. I really just watch way too much HGTV.
Oh, well, there is no such thing as too much. Trading Spaces came back.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Oh, I'm so excited. What's back? This week?
I know, I haven't caught up yet.
I gotta catch.
I've been out of town.
Gotta catch my.
Gotta hit that DVD.
Got to watch Vern Yip. Got to watch Hildy Center Tomas. Got to watch Paige Davis. Anyway, back to Brooklinen. It's luxury bedding, underpriced. You know what? Because it's underpriced, I'll bet you maybe Trading Spaces might use Brooklinen. They love a good bargain. Brooklinen has an exclusive offer just for listeners right here, right now. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMESDAILY at brooklinen.com. They're so confident that they're going to offer you a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all sheets and comforters. Lifetime warranty. That, my friends, is a Threads warranty right there from Brooklinen. And the only way to get $20 off and free shipping, use the promo code GAMESDAILY at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMESDAILY. Brooklinen. The best sheets ever. It's pretty exciting. I'm very, very enthusiastic about sleep. I would love to be sleeping right now.
Me too.
Yeah. Are our listeners sleeping?
Probably not. Hopefully not.
Well, they don't want to sleep on these letters that we received today. Let's start right here with Sean Hood. What are your thoughts on people who don't understand the enjoyment of, as they would call it, quote, watching people play video games, end quote? I'm getting fairly irritated with these people who, no matter how much I try explaining it to them, don't realize the full impact of modern cinematic games such as Uncharted, where you can have fun even when you're not the one playing the games. It's a question about watching other people play games, whether it be streaming or online, whether it be on curated YouTube videos, or whether you just be in the room with them. How do you feel about this, Andrea?
I think that not all game watching is created equal.
Okay.
Watching a streamer play 5 hours of PUBG is different than watching somebody play a game like Wolfenstein 2, for example.
Okay.
And or watching somebody play Uncharted. Cinematics in video games have become so incredibly well done that they do feel cinematic,
mm-hmm.
like truly like silver screen. And with the way that, you know, 4K has been made accessible through home consoles versus just PCs, and you can have these giant 4K TVs in your living room that to showcase the games on, I think watching somebody play can be just as enjoyable. But I also am not the person who sits down and watches streamers play for several hours at a time.
Okay. Have you ever understood the appeal of watching a streamer play for a long time?
Yes, I definitely understand it because I think it's less about the game and more about the streamer.
Okay.
Because when, at least from my experience and talking to people who watch a lot of streaming, they're not there to watch just the gameplay. They're there to like see somebody and have a conversation with other people in the chat and to, you know, be entertained by these personalities and to be in an online space with people in their community.
All right.
And that's really more of what streaming is about. So it's hard to know if Sean is specifically referring to being in person watching a game with someone or watching somebody through the internet.
I wonder too, I'm guessing it's he's just generally wants people to watch the great moments in games and appreciate their value. But this one speaks to me a lot because my wife and I play a lot of games together. And generally speaking, when I say that, we're playing single player games where one or the other of us is switching off the controller. Now, often that'll be a revisit of a game for one of us, but sometimes it'll be the first time we go through it. We play a lot of walking sims that way in particular, because the story unfolds for both of us and we can kind of sit there and be like, well, no, maybe we should go over here. And we're cooperatively playing and there's usually not a time limit on those. We played a lot of Telltale games that way. Well, I revisited Portal 2 with her.
Nice.
Yeah, I had played Portal 2 and then she went back and played it for the first time and I was there and we got to experience the story together. And that was a delight. Absolutely had a great time. But it was just somebody I really liked who was very invested in what was happening. BioShock, actually, we did something similar too. And I've had great experiences with that. But that's not always going to click for somebody. My spouse is going to be interested in playing Portal 2 or BioShock with me or some other things, but pretty sure she's not going to want to sit there while I play Spider-Man when it comes out in September for 30 hours. Maybe I'm selling her short in that regard, but that's not really her cup of tea.
Open world games or competitive multiplayer games are a little bit of a tougher sell.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly if they're first person, because I sometimes get a little like queasy watching other people's first person gameplay, because there's something about having your hands on the sticks that makes it okay while you're driving, but watching somebody else drive, especially if they're like moving around the camera controls quite a bit, it can be really tough to watch, which is why when you bring up walking sims, you know, or even like a more adventure based or narrative based game, those are much easier to watch, which is why this is a tough question to answer, because there's so many different kinds of video games out there.
There is that. Let me ask you this. Do you have any good experiences playing a game alongside someone?
Yes. So my dad actually watched me play through all of Uncharted 4 over a Christmas break several years back, where he just sat down and literally just watched me play the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And I offered him the controller because he and I used to play games together all the time. And he was like, no, I just want to watch. And I was like, good, because I didn't really want to give it up anyway. but it was fun. So that's hard for me in most cases. John and I also like to play side by side, but generally we'll play side by side, each with our own controller,
yeah,
with our own television screen, because I have trouble relinquishing control.
Ah,
because okay. I like to always be the one doing the thing, and that's sometimes tough when it comes to like trading controllers.
We'll do couch co-op or couch competitive, but we don't do side-by-side screen stuff like that usually.
Oh, so. See, that's the way I like to do co-op, where yeah. I get my own screen. I don't, like, split-screen co-op for me is, I don't like it.
Oh, okay. Well, for us, it's usually a lot of, like, we'll sit there with something like Super Mario Brothers Wii U or something like that, where it's,
okay.
Where it's not splitting up. But occasionally, we go that way. But yeah, split-screen is kind of a it's a blessing and a curse.
I just got so used to having the screen all to myself. Going
it's
like, back
it's mine.
To, yeah, going back to a windowed screen is like, wait, no. Oh.
I just have this image of you being like my precious.
Yeah,
like,
that's
always reaches out
me.
Tries to take the controller.
100%.
That's fantastic. A quick note from Philip. I'm still embarrassed by my typo last time I wrote in. Philip, don't worry. My life was one giant typo. And he just wants to say to Jared, holy crap, part-time UFO is awesome and totally worth the $4. I'm trying to evangelize for this game. You like part-time UFO?
I haven't downloaded it yet. You talked about it when you were on What's Good Games, which if you guys missed Jared's performance, it was wonderful. You had some great storytelling in the third segment. We talked about games in the second segment. So that's obviously up on youtube.com/What's Good Games or on whatever podcast app that you guys use. It came out last Friday, but I haven't had a chance to download this yet.
Okay. I absolutely recommend it. It's wonderful. And I'm so glad you brought that up. We had Gary and I were talking about being on yesterday. That was a genuine pleasure coming on What's Good Games. I love your show. You do, I think, the best long form podcast in the business right now. And
oh,
I love
you.
It so much. It's always so energetic and just fantastic. What's that?
Mine is longer form than what you guys do.
It's
like double the length, Kevin.
Yeah, they do like 3-hour podcasts. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why he says long form.
Yep. That's why he's specifying long form.
Calm down over there, Kevin.
She's still better than Kind of Funny. What's up? There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Squad Up with Ed Fry. I was told to download Friday the 13th ages ago because, quote, it's the perfect game to play with friends, end quote. But my friends are pretty lame, and I haven't touched it since October.
No.
I think I'm still level 12. I'd love to have an excuse to fire it up and play with a full squad of best friends and not some annoying racist randos.
Those racist randos.
Yeah, that's you got to avoid those racist randos. You don't want to be there for that. And finally, ladies and... Ed Fry. That's what he put on
Hold
there.
On, let me
Let's
look
double
this
check.
Up. Let me look
Ed Fry is what
quick.
I have. That's what I got there. Do we have a... Yeah. That's what I see there. Did I miss something? I may have fumbled the ball here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's find out. This is riveting television right here. Ed Fry, who are... I know Ed Fry. I don't think this is the same Ed Fry. One of my better friends is a fellow named Ed Fry. Speaking of fries, fries are delicious. I do love a good French fry.
Did you pull this from before today?
I pulled this from today or yesterday. Yeah. Okay. It wasn't the one we used yesterday. Sometimes I pull them the day before, but it wasn't long ago. Ed Fry, where you at, man? Huh?
I know. I'm sorry. I'm looking through
right.
the dock. There's a lot
looking
of
through
things.
The dock here. Oh, you know what? While Andrew's looking through that, I think this would be a good opportunity for me to get salty. That only takes about 60 seconds anyway. So what am I going to get salty about today? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get salty for just a second about the Grand City of San Francisco. Why? Because the Grand City of San Francisco, while full of art, culture, beautiful weather, fantastic people, and incredible opportunity, is also a cesspool of horrors that smells like poop all the time and has perhaps the most discouraging disparity between rich and poor of any place I've ever visited in the United States of America. It is a microcosm for everything wrong with our society, and I pray to God that we do better than we're doing right now to make this a city worth living in, where people of all economic climes can actually coexist and have a realistic possibility of living a life where they do something besides work and wish they could sleep. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. My life is good in this. I'm very fortunate. But man, a lot of people right now are surrounded by horrors in a city with so much wealth. And there's no excuse for it except that we're unwilling to deal with it or hold those that cause the situation accountable for what's taking place.
I can get behind that salty rant for sure.
You on that?
Yes.
You in on that salt?
Yeah. It's bad.
Yeah. There's so much about this place to love. And anything that's actually difficult to fix, we don't work very hard at. And yep. I'm as guilty as anyone on that, but I've decided to get salty.
Okay, so Ed Fry is actually indeed his username. He's on Xbox One, so it's ED space Fry, F-R-Y, Ed Fry.
Ed Fry. Well, that was my problem, was not grabbing his... Sorry.
Well, and so rarely do people's usernames actually look like a name.
Yeah, Ed Fry. That's what I got there. So... Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to find out what we got wrong. I cringe to think that we could possibly have gotten anything wrong, Andrea. I mean, we are, in fact, the pink of perfection.
It's true.
Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Hold on. Let me get to the actual spreadsheet responses.
All right.
Because I'm looking at the public facing one.
Uh-huh.
And there's like a lot of responses there.
Oh, a lot of responses.
It says 194 responses.
194 things wrong in one episode?
No, I think this means that Greg has not gone in and deleted. No, he has not.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, yet again, logistical joy over here. All right.
Okay, here we go.
What we got?
It.
What are we wrong about?
So let me hold on. I gotta text wrap this so it's easier to read.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why I use a printer, which, by the way, update, the printer works again. My life is complete. Somebody out there, please, at Gary Widow right now, let him know the printer's fixed and our lives are together until we run out of cyan or magenta or one of those other made up colors, like periwinkle blue. I don't know.
Just one.
Huh? Yeah.
Just one person.
Yeah. Oh, no, I really kind of hope everyone does it, but that's just because it's Gary and I don't mind bombing Gary at all.
So Petey says, Jared said the You're Wrong URL is kindoffunnygames.com/you're wrong, but it's kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
That's true. I got the URL wrong.
Consequently, Jared was wrong when he said the last time he was wrong was on the Game Over Greggy show yesterday.
Okay, there we are. So yet again, I was wrong. Oh, why do they let me do this?
Because you're wonderful. Jared called Cool Greg Tim. Cool Greg is in fact not Tim.
To be
says Ignacio Rojas.
Ignacio's right. When he poked his head up, Tim's not here today, but when he poked his head up, I thought it was Tim. There's a resemblance there.
And well, they are second, related.
I thought it was Tim, and then I realized it was Cool Greg, but I'd already said Tim.
Kebab says, considering the PS3 ran HD ports of PS2 titles, the PS4 does have the capability to run 6th-generation titles the way Xbox is doing now. I mean, obviously they have the technology, but they just don't have the infrastructure set up. But thanks for being sassy, Kebabs.
I like that.
I appreciate
sassy.
It.
Yeah, I mean, they
and I tolerate it from you because you write inconsistently, and we love that.
Also, kebabs are delicious.
They are. Now I wanted to go get Greek food.
Ooh, that sounds good.
But Kebabs, you got to cut down this editorialization. Your second post, 100% editorial.
Oh, we need the facts, just the facts. And no alternate facts, only real facts, no fake news. We're here for the real facts, my friends.
Okay, so this is probably an important clarification to make, but Petey, this is also being incredibly nitpicky. As the internet is wont to do, the Xbox news got a bit muddled. He says Andrea named all of the other 360 games involved in addition to Red Dead Redemption, Darksiders, Force Unleashed, etc. But the only one of those that is new to backwards compatibility and enhanced is Sonic Generations. The others all received enhanced patches on Tuesday, but were already available on backwards compatibility. Thanks for the nitpicky post, but I guess technically...
Factually correct.
Okay. Lord of Pwn says, this is, this isn't really a you're wrong, more of a clarification, that Jason wrote about the PS5 because of a recent story on semiaccurate.com that was going around the internet that was saying the PS5 could be coming in 2018. The semi-accurate article in question was behind a $1,000 per year subscription cost.
Yeah, that gets mentioned somewhere else I saw.
Also,
that.
Like, if the name of your website is semiaccurate.com, I don't know how to take that with a grain of salt.
I love that we're talking about semiaccurate.com on You're Wrong.
Do you know what this site is?
No. Again, read the full article he talks about.
Okay.
Some. But yeah, there's some things, but also the stuff behind the paywall that he had some questions about.
Right.
The accuracy.
In Lord of Pwn's defense, I did ask, who is saying the PS5 is coming in 2018?
Yep.
Apparently, semiaccurate.com. They're wrong.
There we go.
Okay.
Were we correct about all other things?
Well, somebody on Kebabs is literally writing in right now. It just got added to the doc. So there's this thing. Well, I'm going to skip that one. Sorry. Eth Demon? It looks like Earth Demon, but without an R. Talking about Steam Spy not being a hobby, but a full-time job. I think that was apparent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought we were clear on that.
Kebabs says the sensor bar is not required to operate a Wii U unless you're using the Wii emulator, of course. It's not required for all games, no, but I mean, I kind of feel like you got to have it hooked up if you're going to hook up your Wii U, right?
Why would you use a Wii U without the Wii emulator? 90% of what you're ever going to run on the thing, you're going to run through the Wii emulator. All right, my friends.
Let's see here.
Can we rein this in? We good? We reach the end?
I think, yes. Everything that's left is not an actual you're wrong.
All right.
We are done, Jared.
We are done here. Tomorrow's host, ending this grease fire period that you've been forced to endure over the last couple of days. These chairs switch, and a real host, Andrew Renee, lady who knows her business, knows her stuff, will keep things in control, is going to be in charge. I'll be over there, my gray hoodie. Andrew will be over here preaching the truth, letting you know how it's going to be. Join us tomorrow at Kinda Funny Games Daily. We're so glad you joined us today. Ladies and gentlemen, I kid you not, we are privileged to do this for a living, and we do know it. You make that possible. No one else. We owe you everything. We care about the fact that you care about us. Thank you so much for making our dreams come true. See you next time.